Right now, it is time to head over and bring in Arthur Schwartz.
Just around the corner, there's a rainbow in the sky. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie. Trouble's just a bubble, and the clouds will soon roll by. So let's have another cup of coffee, and let's have another piece of pie.
Let's have a piece of Arthur. Good morning, Arthur.
Well, thank you, Mr. Harnett.
Yes.
You know, it put me in a good mood.
Well, me too.
I poured myself another cup of coffee now that I have revived my large coffee maker. Do you want to hear this? It took me over a year to, because I'm dumb, to find the gaskets for this pot. So for the last year, although I love my new pot, I've been making coffee in a, well, what Italians call a six-cup pot, and I call a one-mug pot. So since I need three mugs in the morning, I finally found the gasket. I mean, you know what? How a gasket can change your life.
Oh, it's the little things. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is the little things. Coffee in the morning is not so little, though.
It's non-negotiable. I remember punishing people when I first came. This is decades ago. I had one of the early espresso makers, not the big ones, just the home ones, and it never made.
Yeah, well, that's what, you know, it's a stovetop.
Okay,
yeah.
But it never made the crema the way that I liked it.
Uh-huh.
So, but if I put it outside the door and punished it and then brought it back in, somehow it would. Seriously. So it was a running joke. Put it
well,
in the hallway, hurt its feelings, it would come back and perform properly.
I'd forgotten how good the coffee is from this pot. I really did. And I don't drink coffee all day. A lot of people do.
No.
I stop after my three mugs in the morning, which are sipped slowly, too. It takes all morning.
Do you have an espresso during the day?
Reading the whole newspaper and doing the crossword puzzle. And then I'm finished for the day.
So
anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about at all.
Okay.
I had a little reception, let's call it, for my friend Cecilia Bellelli Barata, the Baronessa, and some old friends of hers and mine, mutual friends, including Iris Carulli, who is one of my nearest and dearest, but has been living in Rome for the last 15 years. In any case, all these Italians, and plus the friends who are New Yorkers, some Jewish, some Italian, trying to think whether there are any other denominations here, I don't think so. Everybody I knew would love bagels and lox and herring, and I got some good sable and salads, and the best bagels in New York, which are baked here in Park Slope at a place called the Bagel Hole on 7th Avenue. I say they're the best bagels in New York. Many other people say they're the best bagels in New York. But I thought proof of the pudding was Iris, who doesn't like New York bagels anymore. You know, once you're away and come back, they taste a little different. And she's a native New Yorker. She totally recognizes that the bagels that are sold in most places, even in New York City, are big puff things. You know, they're soft. They have too much interior to crust. We have a lot of criticisms. In any case, she ate one of these and said, okay, I give. These are great bagels. So, anyway, I couldn't just put out bought food, although my father, you know, who didn't cook, he used to say he can assemble good meals, and I did assemble a good meal, but I think I thought I needed to add something of my own, and I wasn't baking either. I bought babka from a very good kosher bakery, and I bought rugelach from Margaret Plaka, who is not kosher, but makes rugelach. They always say they're so homemade tasting, I could pass them off as my own.
Huh.
They are the type that that home cooks make, the little cream cheese dough crescents filled with just raisins and nuts and a little apricot jam.
Quick question. What's
anyway,
what's the kosher bakery?
Pardon me?
I said, quick question. What's the kosher bakery before you get on to?
These particular, there are several wonderful ones in Brooklyn, but these babka happen to be from Kaff, K-A-F-F apostrophe S. And the reason I got them there is that I drive by it all the time.
Okay, perfect.
On the one that there's several, and the one that I drive by is on Fort Hamilton Parkway near the intersection of New Utrecht Avenue. You want specifics?
I'll give you specifics. Okay.
I'll give you specifics. So anyway, I made cucumber salad as one of the things that I also made egg salad because I knew I had at least one person who was not going to eat fish. So I made cucumber salad, and I hadn't made cucumber salad in quite a while. And what inspired me was that I was able to buy these really beautiful, long, what they used to call English cucumbers. I don't know what they, burpless cucumbers.
Right,
they
I know the
lot
ones. I don't know what they're called now. We used to get, I mean, I haven't seen any here.
Well, I went to Costco, and they had three for the price of what one normally is in my markets. So I bought the package of three, which, of course, forces you to you eat a lot of cucumber for a few days. And I thought, well, this is the perfect occasion, actually. So here's what I made. I didn't follow a recipe, although I will give you the recipe I made because I always measure everything to make sure that I can pass this on to somebody if it turns out good. Now, my grandmother, Rose Cohn Schwartz, my father's mother, made cucumber salad all the time. She was famous for her cucumber salad, although I doubt that it was her cucumber salad because my grandfather was an actual chef and sort of ran the kitchen in that household. So it was probably my grandmother's cucumber salad via my grandfather. And here's what I did. So you have to have a mandolin or some other way of a Cuisinart, I guess, has a slicing blade. You want to have thin slices of cucumber. My grandfather, who was literally a professional coleslaw and potato salad maker, used to sell it to bars and grills, and later in life, for every family occasion, we had his coleslaw and potato salad. He had every which way a gizmo, a gadget to slice cabbage and vegetables for making slaw. So I guess maybe I have it in my DNA, because I'm lately making a lot of slaws. So getting back to cucumber salad, you peel the cucumbers, even those burpless ones. Most people do not like the skin. Let me just say that. If you want to do something fancy like my mother used to do, you can leave little strips of green around the edge. Remember cucumbers done that way?
Oh, absolutely. But you're absolutely... What is very true is that most people don't like the skin, end of story. So just... save yourself.
Well, let me also say that our normal salad cucumber has horrible skin, which for the most part you do not want to eat. Certainly, if you buy them in a commercial market, they're waxed. You don't want to eat that; it's nasty. And if you have farm grown cucumbers, you might want to eat that skin if you like cucumber skin. Anyway, I peep for this salad, the Hungarian style cucumber salad. I slice the cucumber, I peel them and I slice them very thin on my mandolin. And for two of those cucumbers, I was making a large quantity. I had 14 people coming. We had leftover, and that was last Thursday. We finished it yesterday. It was delicious yesterday. But maybe it was even better after a few days. Anyway, slice the cucumber very thin. And then for two cucumbers, I used about a rounded half teaspoon of salt, a quarter teaspoon-ish, I sprinkled on the first cucumber after I sliced it, and I tossed it around with my hands in a colander. And then I did the same with the second cucumber. I added a little bit more salt. And you toss it around, and you let it sit for, I let it sit for at least an hour. After 20 minutes, nothing happened. After an hour, I had a big puddle of cucumber juice. So do put your colander over a bowl or in the sink. If you want to see how much juice is exuded, I would put it in a bowl. In the sink, you won't know.
Can you use the juice?
Yes, question?
Can you use the juice?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't know. Maybe there's some cosmetic use, like because cucumbers tighten your skin or something.
Yeah,
maybe
Mario Badescu.
Maybe you can make a facial with it.
No, that's what the skin is for. You take the cucumber peels. I don't know who taught me this years ago. Again, you take the cucumber peels and you stick them over your eyes and on your cheeks, and you wait until they fall off. They will stick, and when they start falling off, they're done. You know, you're done.
Well, there you go. So you know, nothing goes to waste.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, you will see. You know, I would say those two long cucumbers, a rounded or heaping half teaspoon of salt should be enough. You don't want to oversalt these. And then if you let it stand long enough, it'll drain. And then you take small handfuls and squeeze it out. And as you squeeze out the sliced cucumber, put them in a bowl, a non-reactive bowl, as we say, ceramic, glass, stainless steel. I'm not sure what a reactive bowl would be made out of. I don't think we have aluminum bowls anymore. In any case, you want to cover these cucumbers, with their, let's say, call it pickling liquid. And that is half vinegar and half water. I found that a cup of each, in this case, two cups of liquid was plenty. And to that I only... Now, this is a funny little thing. My grandmother became diabetic in her later years, as I am, and she switched out sugar for saccharin, and I stopped eating this salad. And I tried this some months ago, and it was vile. So the combination of artificial sweetener, unless maybe I used the wrong one, but the artificial sweetener and vinegar and cucumbers make a nasty combination. So I compromised here. I did put sugar. You have to put some sugar in, otherwise it doesn't taste like my grandmother's Hungarian cucumber salad. And so I used 2 tablespoons of sugar for this big batch of cucumbers. And to that I added 1 small onion cut into rings, also on the same thinness of the mandolin. And that's it. You toss it all together, and you do want to let it sit at least from the morning until the evening, or at least mid-morning till mid-evening, you know, some hours. I left mine out at first because things at room temperature happen quicker, you know, chemical reactions, etc. And then I did chill it because it's best chilled. And when you eat it, you know, do serve it with something like tongs so that you can get the cucumber onion out of the liquid and not have a lot of liquid on your plate, unless you want to serve it as a side on a little bowl. Anyway, this is something with practically no calories. Like, I'm guessing, I'm making this up, actually. You're probably digesting it takes more calories than it has in it. But anyway, I've been making a lot of slaws lately, and I had this brainstorm, okay, maybe it wasn't quite a brainstorm, that, you remember Bert Green's ziti salad?
Yeah.
From the summer?
Yep.
You know, I only make that like once a year, you know, around July 4th, in memory of my dear friend Bert Green, and also because it's really good. And now my niece, married to my nephew Brian, Michelle, has renamed it Macaroni Crack.
Okay.
Because it's so addictive. But I don't want to eat a lot of macaroni salad. So I use the dressing. And by the way, it has a secret ingredient. The dressing is the whole deal here. It's G. Washington's Rich Brown Seasoning and Broth.
Do you still have some left?
Pardon me?
Do you still have some left from your last
pack? Oh, yeah. Well, that's the whole point here.
I
guess
understand.
I'm not getting to the point is that I got to use this up, right? I mean, the last time I bought this was years ago, And it did last for years, but then when I went to make the salad again, I had a lot of trouble finding it. And now I have too much because we found it online. And I live with somebody who has to hoard things. So he bought, I don't know how many boxes of this online, because that was the only place we could find it. I don't know if you remember this story, but I asked this cashier in the supermarket that I'm friendly with if she ever sees this, and she said, oh, I know exactly what this is, but we wouldn't have it here because that's poor people food, and this is a rich neighborhood. but it's G. Washington's Rich Brown Seasoning and Broth. This is all to say, I made the dressing and put it on shredded cabbage. In other words, I made coleslaw instead of macaroni salad using that dressing, and it was sensational. Anybody can find the recipe for this. If you just Google Bert Green, and he spells Green with an E at the end, Bert Green's ZD salad, and there are many iterations of it on the internet because it is delicious, like my niece Michelle says, crack. And by the way, when you put it on cabbage, you get the same effect. You can't stop eating it. Now, it's not to say it's not fattening. It's fattening because it's a lot of mayonnaise and sour cream as the base of the dressing. And I'm sorry to say that G. Washington is really nothing but MSG and salt. But somehow, it's not the same without it. So if you want to make that slaw, you can make, you have to buy this stuff online. I don't know if anybody listening to this program is in such a poor neighborhood that they might have it. But anyway, so I'm using it up. The other slaw that I've been making is what they used to call health salad in Jewish delicatessens. I have a recipe for this in my book, New York City Food. It's the Second Avenue delicatessens version of health salad. But if you look at the recipe, which I am at this moment, it's not all that healthy because even though it's just coleslaw, it's a sweet and sour dressing with an inordinate amount of sugar. So you can, again, take this down. You know, this reminds me of my nephew saying to me after I made something at his house, he said, well, that's not the recipe that's in your book. I said, you know, after 25 years, I've evolved. As my cooking has evolved, and certainly where I used to use a half a cup of olive oil, I'm now using 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and where I used to use a half a cup of sugar, I'm now using 2 tablespoons of sugar. So this is a delicious salad. If you want it sweeter, go ahead, but it's nothing to do, and all winter long, I get really sick of broccoli, and I somehow never get sick of various kinds of slaw. Coleslaw, by the way, slaw is a Dutch word, and coal is Dutch for cabbage. It's a Dutch invention. In New York, let's remember, was first inhabited by Dutch people. So coleslaws of various kinds have always been very popular in New York City. So for this one, you need a half a head of cabbage. I say a half a head. My recipe in the book says a small head, but I don't know any 1.5-pound heads of cabbage anymore. There's nothing less than like 2.5 pounds. So let's say a half of a 3-pound head of cabbage. And then to cut this up, after I cut it in half, I cut it in quarters. I cut out the hard core, which, by the way, you can nibble on if you like. It's perfectly good to eat, but it's sort of too tough for the slaw. And then I shred the cabbage with a knife, a big knife, as finely as I can. And in my case, it's pretty fine. If you don't want to do this, you can, I guess, shred it in a food processor. And to this 1.5 pounds of shredded cabbage, you're going to add 2 medium-large carrots, which you have peeled, scraped, however you want to call it. And then I shred that right into the bowl with the cabbage on the coarse side of my box grater. And then I add, mainly for color, but the taste is good too, a small green bell pepper, which you can either dice finely or cut into fine strips as you like, a large rib of celery. I like, if it's a really wide rib, I cut it in half lengthwise, and then I slice it pretty thin, and I throw that in the bowl, and then that's it. I would toss all that together, and then add the dressing, which is 3/4 cup of vinegar. Now, which vinegar? For this, distilled white vinegar, like you buy to clean windows.
White vinegar is terrific. It's magic, I think.
You know, I like white vinegar. I don't want to disparage, but I don't disparage white vinegar or iceberg lettuce. So, to the 3/4 cup of white vinegar, you're going to add a couple of tablespoons. And my recipe in the book says olive oil, but in the days when Abe Liebowald made this for the Second Avenue Deli, he didn't use extra virgin olive oil that had a really strong flavor. So I would actually, these days, use 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil, meaning generic vegetable oil, peanut oil, canola oil, walnut oil would be delicious. Listen, if you have walnut oil in your pantry, you got to find uses for it because it spoils very quickly. And if you leave it in the cabinet, you're going to, next time you go there, it's going to be rancid. It gets rancid almost as soon as you open the can. The reason I if I do want walnut oil, I buy these tiny, super expensive cans because I'm going to waste the big one anyway. And then, so 3/4 cup of white wine, white distilled vinegar, 2 tablespoons of oil, 2 tablespoons of sugar. I would say at least 1 tablespoon of salt. It sounds like a lot, but this is a lot of salad. And you want the salt to help wilt this salad a little bit. And some freshly ground pepper, as much as 1/2 teaspoon, depends on how you like it. So toss this all together and then refrigerate it and leave it in for at least the day, you know, morning to evening or overnight. I mean, this is best made beforehand, you know, a day or two beforehand. And it's delicious. And this is the stuff that they used to put out on the tables. Many, they didn't put sauerkraut. They didn't put a creamy coleslaw, a mayonnaise-based coleslaw, or a Bert Ziti salad dressing coleslaw. They put out this oil and vinegar coleslaw. And then there was something called Greek salad. Do you remember this? I've not seen this in years. But Greek salad was this very same sweet and sour salad, except that it had the addition of a purple, black, / purple Greek olives, and that was exotic in those days because most olives came out of a can from California and had no taste at all. But at least the good appetizing stores of old, that's where they sold this. Because besides the olives, it had herring cut into small pieces, tossed into the salad. I'm not sure, I never even thought to research this, but I probably could, how herring got into something called Greek salad, sold only in Jewish appetizing stores, meaning stores that specialize in fish and cheese and things that you can eat with fish and cheese, and dried fruits and nuts. And those are the classic items. So, I'm making more cucumber salad today.
Can I just say something?
It was such a hit. Oh, and also I make cucumbers with yogurt all the time. You want to call it tzatziki if you're Turkish, tzatziki if you're Greek, and right. We eat a lot of that. Shredded cucumbers with garlic, dill, and yogurt.
And you have one of the best, I just want to say, you've got one of the best recipes for that, and I think it's soup suppers.
I just want to say that this whole morning so far has sounded like a morning with my grandmother.
Was your really? Grandmother Hungarian,
yeah.
Polish, what?
Hungarian.
Hungarian. Oh. Let me say, the Hungarian women
used sugar.
Knew how to cook. It was in their DNA. Even my grandma Rose, who always claimed she couldn't I couldn't burl an egg until I met your grandfather, because my grandfather was the cook in the family, as I've said. But even she, once she started cooking, she did it very well.
Yeah, it's I'm sitting here, and I'm every time you mention something, I look at it, so I said, yep. I used to hang in the kitchen with her all the time.
Well, cucumber salad is wonderful for dieters. I mean, there's nothing to it. Even if you're eschewing sugar, you know, 2 tablespoons of sugar in this big, big bowl of cucumber salad ain't going to kill you.
All right.
Yeah. It is true.
All right.
So next week.
Hanukkah. Chanukah.
Oh, yes, it's Hanukkah. Well, you know, baseline for Hanukkah is
latkes.
Fry something.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it doesn't matter. Just fry something. All right.
You're free.
See you next week for Hanukkah.
Okay.
Love you, Bob. Care. Thank you.
I love that advice. Just fry something for Hanukkah. That's Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. You can hear him live on the air and, of course, online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton. Flawless catering and event planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with 2 beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or sit down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.